It sounds good with talking and laughter. I like that. Yeah. All right. Is it on? Yeah, that's good. Okay. As you can see, Don isn't here. He's on vacation, so which is good. He needs. And so I have the class here this morning. We're not going to be using the book, so I hope that doesn't disappoint everybody, but I want to be looking at prayer a little bit this morning. So let's begin with a word of prayer.
Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, come before Thee at this time. We're so thankful for this opportunity, this privilege, and this honor to come before Thee. We thank Thee for being our loving, caring God, and being so patient and long-suffering with us. We ask Thee to be with Tim as he directs his class and be according to Thy will. We ask Thee to be with Don and Carrie as they travel, and others that are traveling. May they have a safe and pleasant journey and return to us once again. We're so thankful for Thy Son Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Scriptures that Thou hast blessed us with. Help us to have the strength and the courage to understand them and use them throughout our lives. We ask these things according to Thy will, for it's through Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I wanted to talk about prayer because prayer is one of the most important things that we have as Christians. I think sometimes we do not emphasize prayer to the point that it really needs to be emphasized. Without prayer, we have nothing. Prayer is what really supports the ministry. And some people think that that they don't have much of a calling or much of a ministry, and they're called to prayer. They're called to be the ones that hold up the work, and they're called to be the ones that are a blessing for the church. And so I'd like for us to look at prayer and a little bit about it. One of the things that really strikes me is that Jesus prayed. And He gave us an example for prayer. And I'm not saying the specific prayers or anything like that, but Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went to a solitary place where He prayed." You think about that. Very early in the morning, the priority that He had Himself, going out to a solitary place, a place where He could be alone with the Father and talk to the Father. That was important to Jesus. And I think that when we see something that is important for Him, it really needs to be something that is of importance to us. How often are we willing to sacrifice our sleep in order to have that extra time that we have alone with God? It should be an important priority to us. Psalm 63 and verse 1 says, "You, God, are my God. Early in the morning," or the way the New International Version puts it, is, "earnestly I seek You. I thirst for You. My whole being longs for You in a dry and parched land where there is no water. The importance of seeking after God, you know, it's like that of thirsting. It's like that of being in a dry and thirsty land, you know, where you're just so thirsty, so needing to be filled, and you're filled as you go to God in prayer. You're filled as you are seeking after Him, and the cry of your heart goes out. And when that cry of the heart goes out, then God reaches down and He touches. There's a need. Acts 6 and verse 4 says, "And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Now this is talking about the apostles, because the church had all kinds of needs for the widows and those that were there in the church, and they set apart 7 deacons to do that work, so that they could specifically spend time in prayer and the ministry of the word. Very important for them. And again, that just reinforces for us the importance of prayer, that we need to have that in our lives. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 says that, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building." So in this, it's really telling us that as we work together, we are working with God. And as we pray and we work together, it is that of being in unity with God. We need to have the kind of prayer where we are praying together and understanding that God uses us. There is such a great effect that begins to take place because God only works as we seek after Him, as we ask, and that is through prayer. Exodus 32 and verse 14 talks about, it says, "Then the Lord relented and did not bring on His people the disaster that He had threatened." In this case, Moses had interceded so that God would change His mind. And a similar case took place in Jonah 3 and verse 10. "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction that He had threatened." And this is the result of prayer, that when God has determined to do something, sometimes it is changed by the people that are His people, or those that are repenting, so that destruction does not come. And truly, that's the kind of thing that we, as the people of God, need to keep in mind, that when we are working with the world around us and we have that desire for the salvation of those that are around us, the desire to have hearts changed, the desire for our nation to change, all these things that we see that are troubling for our souls, we need to bring that before God so that prayer is going out and that the heart of God can be touched so that things can take and change within the world, because God is truly the one who is in control. of all of heaven and earth. And He works. He works. And when the forming of this nation and the Continental Congress and things, they weren't getting anywhere until they got on their knees and they prayed to God. And then there was such a great anointing that came on and a unity that came within the Continental Congress there that they were able to establish some of the things that we have, like the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. And it came about because these men were willing to get on their knees and pray. And prayer is extremely important. In Luke 5, there's a time that the Lord took and encouraged His disciples to launch out into deep waters. And when He did, He was telling them to go out to the deep water to take and catch the fish. Now, and they'd been fishing, you know, and didn't really want to do that. But sometimes we need to go into deep waters. We need to reach out to be able to go into a deeper place than where we have been. To a point where we can become more effective. More effective with the ministry that we have, with the prayer life that we have. We need to be in prayer for our lives and our ministry to be truly effective. I'd like for us to look at 7 different points here this morning. And all of these I'm calling going deeper. So, the first point is going deeper into prayer. And there are 3 reasons that I'll give you for this. The first is to be devoted to prayer individually and collectively as the body of Christ. And I mean by that we do not function just as ourselves. We do have many needs that are our own, and we bring those before the Lord. But we have many needs as the body that we need to take and bring collectively as the body of Christ before the Lord. The second part, that we make intercession for others and outreaches a priority. We need to be praying for the work that the church has here. It's not just the elders praying for that, like the ministry in India or the ministries that we have with the children's homes and different things. But each one of us needs to be praying so that these will be effective works and the work of God can truly go on. And then we really need to make this intercession that we have effective where we know that God will answer. And part of that is with our faith, and that's the next point. But in Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. See the importance that Paul was making for prayer here? That God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Season with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And then Isaiah 62 and verse 6. And I'd have to say that this is a verse that speaks to me probably more than most any verse on prayer. It says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. And I think that that verse is so powerful, because God says that he's established watchmen on the wall. Well, who's the watchman? We are. We're the watchmen. We're the ones that are to be watching out. And he says they will never be silent day or night. That's powerful. You know, how often do we get complacent? You know? We go through maybe our little prayer, you know, say a couple of little things. You know, I pray a lot of the same things over and over and over again. Sometimes God puts something on my heart and I pray a little bit more. But we really need to get deeper in our prayer. We need to understand that when we pray, we're making a difference as we talk to God, that he answers. He says, you who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest. You know? Don't get lazy. Don't feel like, you know, that, you know, it doesn't really matter. Because it does. It really does. Yes.
I'd like to mention, I have a tendency myself to trust God so much, knowing he'll always take care of me, that I take him for granted and don't.
Mm-hmm. When we get into that conversation, then we start realizing more about what his love is for us. It begins to open up our hearts. It begins to make us realize that he is in control, that we do depend on him. You know, and you cannot get to that point unless you are on your knees. Because it's when you're on your knees that you start seeing the results of the prayer. You know? Okay, that's preaching, isn't it? It's so true, though. Really. Luke 11. Verses 9 and 10 says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. That's quite a promise that the Lord has given to us. But in that promise, it has something required of us. And that's required of us is that we have to ask, we have to seek, we have to knock. In order for us to receive, and that is where prayer is at. Those are powerful verses. The next point, point number two, is deepening our faith. And actually all of this is deepening our faith whenever we're in prayer. But the first point is growing in our ability to trust God at a deeper level. You know, we start off and we say, yes, God, I know you are God. I know that you're in control. But we want to take and hold on to different parts of our life. And we want to take and maybe let God have control here, but maybe not in all places. But as we are in prayer, more and more we open up to let God have that control over all areas of our life, where He is Lord and Master of our emotions, our feelings, you know, everything that we do. The second point of that is trusting Him from the smallest detail to the biggest need. Everything. And then to see God do what is impossible for us to do on our own. That's having faith. You know, we know that we can't do it. We know that we are powerless in ourselves. But yet, by going to God in prayer, you see things happen. God is a great God. In Hebrews 11, actually, let me do one verse here first. 1 John 5. Verses 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Powerful promise, isn't it? And God is faithful. You know, He doesn't lie. His promises are true. That if we ask according to His will, that He hears us, no matter what it is. And we do know that what He wants is justice in the world. We know that what He wants is for the hungry to be fed and the naked to be clothed. We know that what He wants is for those with needs, the needs to be met. We know that what He wants is for our neighbors to take and come to know Him. You know, and we could make the list on and on for the things that we know that what God wants. And those are things that we need to be seeking. In Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what that was visible. And then in verse 6 it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He rewards those that earnestly seek Him." So the point is that we need to believe in Him, but we have to seek after Him earnestly. Earnestly. Now, if I understand that word, it means really getting in there and doing it, doesn't it? That's kind of my simple paraphrase. But we really have to seek after Him and believe. It's applying that faith. James 1. Hebrews 11, 6. James 1 and verse 6 says, "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." You know, do you ever feel like that wave? Yeah, I imagine most of us have. Most of us have been there. Sometimes we feel like it's kind of a roller coaster ride, you know, and our faith is not very strong. But he says, we must believe and not doubt in order for that faith to really be effective. The third point is deepening our focus. Some of us, our eyes aren't very good, you know. You know, we take these off, you know, you're kind of a blurry mass out there. I can't see you hardly at all. And I certainly can't see my paper up here, you know. And I know that there's one there, but, you know. Ah, now I can see it. And I can see you out there, too. But that's, we have to get where we have the focus. Now here, you know, I'm wearing the glasses so that I can have focus. But the focus that we need is keeping Jesus and spiritual matters as our central focus. Keeping our eyes upon the Lord. The second part of that, evaluating all that we do in light of our calling. Your calling and my calling, we have some of the same things that we are called to in bringing salvation to those that are around us in praying. But we each have individual different ministries. And we need to recognize what those are. And to do the ministries that we have, each one of us. The third point is discerning what is a good idea from what is a God's idea. You know, sometimes we think something is really good, but it may not be the kind of thing that God wants or that God thinks is good. We have to choose God's idea and be able to discern what is His and what is His timing. Okay, let me give you some verses here. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." And what a promise. Because as we come to the Lord and we are buried with Him in baptism, we die to ourselves. But He says that we have to set our hearts on the things that are above. Set our minds on the things that are above. You know? The earthly things are not to pull us and drag us away. And when we have our focus on Him, then the worldly things do not have that pull. The closer that we get to Him in prayer, the less the pull of the world is upon our heart. The more the desire of God begins to rule within our heart. The more that love of God becomes evident to us, so that we want to be closer to Him. And having His love and having His life to be that which is close to us. But it's our being in relationship with Him. In Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. This is a good one to learn and put in your heart. God is saying He will keep us in perfect peace. What a promise. Do you ever feel like you lack that peace? Lack, you know? But He says that whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Ooh. Matthew 6:33, and you all know this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Again, a great promise that the Lord has given to us. If we seek Him first and His righteousness, look what we've got. Everything. You know? Everything. First Thessalonians 5:21 says, test everything. Hold on to the good. Because the world is going to bring all kinds of things our way. So we have to test to make sure that it is the things that God wants. Okay, let's move on. The fourth point, deepening our effectiveness. Okay? This is listening to the Lord to hear not only the what and the why, but also the how. It is also setting aside ways that are not effective. And ways that are not effective are ways that are futile. You know, we can get into a rut. We've got to do things this way or that way. And if it's not working, you know, why do it? You know, that's what some people call insanity or futility. And then look for fresh vision. New ideas and strategies to serve the Lord at the highest level that we can. You know, we've got to be willing to step out, to do things. You know, we do a lot of things, and this church here, I think, does a lot of different things that are good. But it's being willing to take and let the Lord use us in even greater ways. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8 says this, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. And Ephesians 4 and verse 15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay, we're running out of time. The fifth point is deepening our care. And this is understanding how that we can best meet the needs of those that we serve. And having a greater manifestation of the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. This is one that really touches my heart, because I guess that's because that's part of my character, that God really touches me because of the needs of other people. And I feel compelled to help people to do different things, or you know. And I know that that's something that God wants in our hearts, that we would be willing to help others. And Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion." You got that word, compassion. That speaks to me. We are to have compassion for each other, but not just for each other. Compassion for those that are around us. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's powerful. And to apply that to our heart, that's what we need. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Isn't that, I love that verse. Powerful. We need that. Okay. We don't really have time to do another one, but I'll start. The sixth point is deepening our quality. In deepening our quality, we do everything that we do in love. And I like that the emphasis that the Apostle John made was on love. At one time, according to church history, he went into one of the churches and they asked him to speak, and he simply said, "Love one another." And they thought that he was going to have this long, profound sermon, and he did. Love sums up everything. If we really love one another, if we love God, then we are taking and serving one another. We are being the blessing that God wants. Love will sum up everything. And then may we do everything for the glory of God. Do our lives reflect that? The glory of God, doing the things for Him? And may we press on for the sake of Jesus and eternity. In Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, it says this, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Philippians 3 verses 12 through 16 says, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Clear direction. The seventh point, deepening our leadership. And with this, it is to develop leaders among us. The maturing and the proper placement of those that are leaders. You know, this should be a goal within the church, to become leader. Because a leader is a servant, and we are all to have a servant's heart. In Matthew 20 and verse 26 says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." You know, even if you don't want to become great, you need to have the servant's heart. To mature, to be a servant. Each one of us needs to be serving one another and loving one another. Okay.